I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4. And I'll read from verse 29 down to verse number 40. Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse number 29, as we stand for the reading of his word and honor God by doing so. Verse number 29, the Bible says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of the heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing word, your powerful word, and for the privilege we have to hear from you today. Lord, we thank you for being an awesome God and for your many blessings upon our lives these past 364 days in this year. Dear Lord, we are grateful for all that you've done and all that you will do in the days ahead. I pray that you would speak to the power of your Holy Spirit, and may you stir every heart, dear Lord, to be closer drawn to you and to have a personal relationship with you. Pray that you would give me the words you'll have me to say. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. May these words not be my words, but your words. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for all that you will do. Save the lost. Stir the heart of every believer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Two friends were sitting together in a cafe when a noisy car alarm interrupted their conversation. One friend said, "What good are car alarms when no one pays any attention to them?" The other friend said, "Some are actually quite effective. Last summer, my teenager spent a lot of time at our neighbor's house. So whenever I wanted him home, I'd go out in the driveway and I'll jostle his car to trigger his car alarm." I guess you might get it. There might be a time element involved. We are living in a world where it is becoming It's becoming increasingly difficult, rather, to get and to hold people's attention. Web page designers and TV commercial creators spend a great deal of time and money researching and surveying and analyzing their target audience in order to come up with precisely the right strategy that will grab and hold your attention so that you can continue watching or indulging in what is being presented. Even as I begin this message this morning, I'm ever conscious and aware that as a preacher, I have a limited amount of time by way of introduction to pique and to grab and to hold your interest so that you will be encouraged and motivated to pay attention to the entire message. As I look around, it seems as though I've already lost some. But such is the nature of holding people's attention today. The reality is that attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. And to compound the problem, distractions are increasing such that one can hardly engage in a conversation these days without having to share the attention of the other person with WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and the list goes on and on. My question to all of us here today is, what is it that gets your attention? What is it that will hold you captive, as it were, to be able to engage your entire being in what is taking place? Is it money? Is it food? These things often work for many people. Man, you mentioned that money is being given out. People will clear out their schedules. Why, you've grabbed their attention. It is said that the quickest way to get a child's attention is to take a nap. I guess that's a time joke as well. You'll get it later. Parents probably understand. But have you ever wondered, what is it that gets God's attention? What is it that grabs him captive, so to speak, and engaged in what is happening? You may say, Pastor, that's not an appropriate question for Almighty God. After all, he's omniscient. He knows everything, and he sees all. He knows all. His attention is not piqued by anything. But I'll draw your attention to Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, which says thus, "And I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." This verse, by inference, implies that God, in his observance of mankind, his attention would have been drawn in a significant way, in a different way, in a meaningful way, to a faithful man who he sought to be able to stand in the gap. Now, as we close out 2018 and as we approach 2019, it is always a good time to be able to reflect. A time to be able to look back on all the things that have happened in this almost concluded calendar year. Individually and collectively, we've engaged in a variety of different activities as the people of God, involved in the work of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't like putting effort into things that are not effective. And as we've been involved in a variety of different activities, whether it's a conference, whether it's a potluck, whether it's a dramatic production, or even a worship service, it would behoove us that in everything that we did in 2018, that we had God's attention. If it was just for going through the motion, it was an absolute colossal waste of time. In Deuteronomy, the children of Israel, in the passage that we read, they were approaching a new horizon. They were on the cusp of entering the promised land. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were, after this long journey from the land of Egypt, from which they were in bondage, they were now about to experience their destiny, the promised land that God had prepared for them. And in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was, as it were, reflecting on their experiences. He was looking back to all that God had done. And not only what God had done, but the many mistakes that they had made as they journeyed and wandered through the wilderness. But it was not only a time of reflection, it was also a time of looking forward. Moses was looking and anticipating on their behalf, because we are aware of the fact that God has said to him, because of his response and his disobedience, that he would not have the privilege to enter the promised land. However, Moses was engaging by way of instruction in a time of reflection in looking back, but also in looking forward as to what they should and could expect. And Moses was saying to them, in essence, children of Israel, I'm not going to experience what you're going to experience, but I want to help you understand, in order to be able to have success in this land of promise, this land of Canaan that will be flowing with milk and honey, it is imperative that in everything that you do, that you get God's attention. You get God's attention. Don't just do what you want to do, but get God's attention. As we are here about to turn the calendar on one year into another, it's a time of reflection for us. It's a time to look back on all the things that have happened in 2018, all the mountaintop experiences and all of the valleys. All of the good times and all of the bad times. It's also a time to reflect on the goodness of Almighty God. But it's also a time of introspection to be able to understand how did we fare in 2018? Did we serve God with the vigor that he deserved? Did we serve him with the passion that he deserved? Did we hold and grab his attention in all of the things that we did? Spiritual activity, as it were, or not. Did we get God's attention, or did we simply just go through the routine and go through the motion just to say that we did? And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Getting God's Attention. Getting God's Attention. Brethren, let it not be that we are going through this routine of coming to a church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, time after time, just going through the motion. Let it be that we have God's attention with what we are engaged in. What did Moses instruct the children of Israel in helping them to get God's attention? Well, in the first place, I want you to notice, Moses said to these children of Israel, the first thing you have to do is to recognize his person. Recognize his person. In essence, Moses was simply saying, you have to understand who God is. Amen? You have to recognize his person. Look at verse number 31, where Moses says, in recognizing who God is, recognize, first of all, his perfect attributes. He says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. Mercy is withholding from us that which we do deserve. Brethren, we have gotten to the end of this year, Because of the mercies of God. His mercies are new every morning. There's so many things that God could have given to us that we deserved, but because of his mercy, mercy said, no, I'm not going to. Oh, God is a merciful God. But oh, God is also a trustworthy God. He says, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Our God can be trusted to keep his word. He's a merciful God. He's a trustworthy God. But thank God, God is a dependable God. You can depend upon him. God is a compassionate God. Thank God for his compassion. Brethren, we have to understand and recognize who God is. Moses outlined here his perfect attributes. We are living in a wicked world, and one of the devil's strategies has been to peddle a false notion that the evil that is in the world is to be attributed to Almighty God. And the reality is, he himself, Satan, Slewfoot, he is the originator and the orchestrator of the mess. But he peddles this view that, how can God be a good God and a compassionate God when he lets this happen and that happen? But God is a great God. You know, when you don't know the value of something or someone, you tend to not treat it the way it should be treated. In January of 2007, the Washington Post did an experiment to test how people respond to what they perceive. And listen to this. They arranged for a young man named Joshua Bell to play music at the metro station, the train station. And by most measures, he was nondescript, wearing jeans, a long-sleeve t-shirt, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. From a small case, he removed a violin. Placing the open case at his feet, he threw a few dollars in and pocket change as seed money and began to play. For the next 45 minutes, Bell played Mozart and Schubert as over 1,000 people streamed by, most hardly taking notice. If they had paid attention, they might have recognized the young man for the world-renowned violinist he is. They might also have noted that the violin he played was a rare Stradivarius, worth over $3 million. Just 3 days earlier, Joshua Bell sold out the Boston Symphony Hall with ordinary seats going for $100. In the subway, Bell garnered, however, about $32 from the 27 people who stopped long enough to give him a donation. The reality is, when we don't understand the value of what we have and who we have, we tend not to treat it appropriately. Brethren, our God is an awesome God. Were it not for his mercies, we would be consumed. And Moses said, the first thing I need to establish is the recognition of who God is as a person, his perfect attributes. But here's something Moses wanted them to do. He says, I want you to not take my word for it, but I want you to do a personal assessment. Moses says, it's not just good enough for me to tell you how good God is. It is for you to do your own personal analysis. Don't you take my word for it. I may know God is a good God, but you need to know for yourself. And look at what he says in verse 32. He says, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live?" Moses says, do your own personal review. Look into it. Research the evidence. Ask from one side of heaven to the other. Sit down and engage your brain and your mind about what God has done. Think of how faithful he has been, even when you have not been faithful. Do your own personal assessment. Don't just take somebody else's word for it. He says that is imperative, that is necessary in understanding the person of Almighty God. He says, I know he has perfect attributes, but you got to do your own personal assessment. And Moses was so confident in the character of God, he knew that these questions he was asking were rhetorical questions, because after the personal assessment would be done, he knew that they would come to a prompt acknowledgement. Why? Because the answer is obvious. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. He says, you are a special people. You are a blessed and privileged people. He says the acknowledgement, he didn't even give an answer. He says, you go and ask, and guess what you'll find out? That our God is a great God. He says you have to recognize his person. But secondly, I want you to jot this down. Not only have we need to recognize his person, who is God? Who are the one who we worship? Who is the one that we worship? Who is the one that we praise? But he says, here's what you have to do. Secondly, remember his performance. Remember his performance. Look at verse number 36. Moses was quite direct in this thing. He says, I'm going to ask you all the questions. I'm going to tell you to do your personal assessment. But at the same time, just in case you don't follow my advice, I'm going to give you the answers at the same time. Wouldn't it be awesome if teachers in school gave tests like this? Right? They gave you the test, but when they gave you the test, they gave you the answers right after. Wouldn't that be awesome, children? I know you all would agree, but that's not how life works. You have to study so that you know the answers for yourself. But Moses says, I want to give you the questions and the answers at the same time. He says, I'm going to recall, I'm going to remember his performance. Look at verse number 36. He says, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth showed his great fire, that thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Moses says, in by way of remembering God's performance, remember that God granted you the direction. He says he instructed you to guide you. Brethren, saints of God, when God desires to instruct us, get a hold of this, it is not for his benefit. It is for our benefit. Amen. He says, thank God for his direction during this past year. I know in Nevis this might be a difficult concept for us, since we are a small island. And don't think that small is always a bad thing. Okay? Because let me tell you something. I don't like the feeling of being lost. But I've also learned that you can also get lost in Nevis. Don't let anybody fool you that you can't get lost in Nevis. Because if you don't know where you're going, you can absolutely be lost. But being lost is not a nice feeling. And as a result of that, technology and all the advancements has brought us into the age of what is known as the GPS. And the GPS gives you a great comfort level. You just punch in the address and you click go, and it tells you turn by turn, turn here, turn there. And even if you make a mistake, it tells you, turn around. Listen, thank God that on this road of life, God has the perfect and ultimate GPS. Amen. We don't have to worry. His direction is clear once we are willing to listen to it. Thank God for his direction in 2018. But Moses says, not only has God granted his direction, but he says, God has granted you deliverance. Look at verse number 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. And how many of you can testify that in 2018, there have been some situations that you could not wiggle out of it, even if you tried? It was as if you were in shackles. And not your own doing, but God granted deliverance. Were it not for God, God showed up. Brethren, this thing of recall is so powerful and important. Do you know that sometimes, as great a thing that God has done, we forget? We fail to remember what he has done. You say, Pastor, how you know? Because the next time we find ourselves in the same situation, we lament and say, where is God? And how am I going to get out of it? And God shows up again, and we forget again. And he shows up again, and we forget again. You have to engage the faculties of your mind. Do like my dad. I keep pledging that I'm going to start doing it. Keep a diary. Keep a calendar. Put on those dates when God provided out of nowhere and he showed up right on time. Amen. And you didn't know where track shoes were going to come from. And all of a sudden, just when you're ready to go to the game, all of a sudden, a young man jumped out of a car and brought you track shoes that were precisely your size on time, God. God is a God of deliverance. But you have to activate your mind to remember. And when God provided for surgeries, and all of a sudden, when you open up the letter, the hospital said the 60,000 surgery was a zero balance. You have to remember. And when people scandalize your name, and then God vindicated you, you have to learn to remember. And not doubt God the next time. God is a God of deliverance. Brethren, we are not smart enough. We're not intellectual enough to think our way out of every situation. We need the hand of Almighty God. You can't always clean up your reputation in everybody's mind. If you try to do that, that will be a full-time job and you still will have to work overtime. So let God handle it. Remember his performance. He provided his direction. He provided deliverance. And in verse number 38, he provided their destiny. Look at verse 38. To drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Yeah, y'all got that? You got that pronoun there? Listen, God has a destiny ordained for each and every person. Listen, just in case you think God is unfair, everything belongs to him. So he can take away from one person and reallocate to another because he is God and it belongs to him. God shows special favor. That's why you need to get his attention. When something is being handed out and dispensed and dispersed, you want what has your name on it. If somebody else has it, they need to pass it over to you. Why? Because your name is on it. They cannot and should not be allowed to cash your check. Why? Because you are the payee. That's your destiny. And sometimes things can get misallocated and lost in the shuffle. But thank God, he knows where it is. And if you find yourself in a place of destiny in his perfect will, God will land it right into your lap. Amen? But guess what? You have to be where he wants you to be. You all know that I don't preach politics, but I'm using this for an analogy. Mind you. When the government was passing out checks this past week, they did not go from house to house and place to place and says, well, we have your address. Let me go and find you and bring the check to your door. They gave instructions and they said the checks are being handed out at this particular place. And if you have your one with your name on it, you had to find a place and find yourself there to get your check. Amen. When God is handing out what belongs to us, make sure you find yourself in the place where he's handing out what he's giving to you. Amen? Amen. Else you're going to miss what belongs to you. God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. And if you want to experience it, find yourself in the right place. Remember his performance. Recognize his person. But thirdly, notice what Moses says. After you've done these things, realize his position. Look at verse number 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. Look at verse 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Brethren, if we're going to get God's attention, we not just only need to understand who he is as a person, remember his performance, but we have to realize his position. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I love what Moses says. You have to consider this in your heart. It has to be a heartfelt conclusion, not a head knowledge. Not just with your mind, but with your intellect, your emotion, and your will to say, God, you are above all, and I will treat you as such. You're more important than my job. You're more important than my career. You're more important than my friends. You're more important than my spouse. You are above all. And guess what? There is no competition. Amen. Amen. Realize his position. So many people are walking around in this world engaged in religious activity without fully grasping God's ultimate position. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because of how they treat God. How God gets pushed on the back burner for every last and little thing. He says, you got to realize his position. What is Moses instructing them here? I want you to have God's full attention and engagement in what you are doing. Why? For your benefit. He says, recognize his person. Remember his performance. Realize his position. But fourthly, respond with passion. This is a major key in getting God's attention. That is why everything that I've said preceding sets up this fourth point. Because after you understand God, who God is, after you have been convinced of all that God has done, after you recognize his position, he says in verse 29, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him." If it is conditional, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Brethren, this is the crux of what moves God. This gets his attention. You have to seek him with all that you got. God is not impressed by half-heartedness. Let me say that again. God is not impressed or moved by half-heartedness. He is not impressed or moved by what is called half-stepping. He is not impressed by straddling the fence. You have got to be all in. All in. Good timing. Brethren, if we are honest with ourselves, and this is why it's important that we understand that God is a person. Now, I didn't say he's a human, because God is a spirit, but God is a person. We as people, we are not impressed by half-heartedness either. We are not moved by lackadaisical attitudes and approaches. If you are a boss on your job and you have a bunch of employees who just lays their way around and just are neither here nor there and are not passionate about the job, you're going to seek to move them and replace them with somebody else who's passionate. And at the very least, they will not be the one who is promoted. On the sports field, we are upset as fans when that fan just didn't even give full effort and try to stop that ball from going into the boundary or didn't make an effort to get that catch. We are annoyed and upset. But what's wrong with you? Yeah. Probably didn't even get a good lunch or get a good sleep last night, but we couldn't care less. And we are annoyed and upset and agitated. When it comes to God, we're like, "Boy, me just come out of so. When is this service going to be over? When he going to stop talking? He don't realize it's 12:45. And my lunch is home. Can he just hurry up and finish the message? Why are they saying amen? When they're saying amen, it makes him want to preach longer. Can they stop saying anything?" Passion for the work of God. By the way, I've learned as a pastor, preach what thus saith the Lord, whether they say amen or not. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. No, I like hearing amen because it means people agree with me. And when they agree with me, maybe you will be convinced of what I'm saying. But whether they say amen or not, thus saith the Lord, it is true. Yeah. And brethren, I can't come here on a Sunday morning waiting for you to pump me up. I got to be pumped up before I come in here. Amen. And all of us have to have that mindset. If we just come in here based on whether we got a nice breakfast, whether we got a nice sleep last night, then the service is going to be up 1 week, down another. Up 1 week, down another. But God is good all the time. Get your passion from him. You think every Sunday Pastor Wayne feels like he wants to just be on fire, as they say sometimes? Listen, it comes from recalling in your mind what God has done. Whatever else is happening outside of these four walls is not the focus right now. God is the focus, and he's the one who deserves to be praised. Amen. You got to respond with passion and get the attention of Almighty God. And if we're not going to get his attention, we might as well go home. Stop wasting time. Respond with passion. Number five, I'm almost done. These things are, they're logical. You can't do one before the other. And by the way, the logic did not come from me. It came from the Word of God. It says, after you respond with passion, with all your heart, here's what you got to do. Number five, realign your priorities. Look at verse number 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. Here's the implication. There is a clear implication that a change was necessary. Why? Because they're in tribulation. He's speaking futuristically. When thou art in tribulation and things come upon you and you need that situation to turn around, here's what you got to do. You have to do two things that are self-imposed. You have to turn to the Lord and you have to be obedient to his voice. Amen. That's all that's required. Realigning your priorities. I talk to people all the time and I hear them say, oh, pastor, I know I need to change my life. No, you don't. You don't need to change your life to come to God. What you need to do is to reorient, turn your heart to him and be obedient to what he says next. That's all you got to do. And he does the changing as a result of those two things. Realign your priorities. Let God do it. You and I do not have the ability to change our lives. If that were possible, there would be no need for God. But he says, realign your priorities. And then finally, after you've done all these things, and you're on track, and you're oriented in the right way to God, he says, run with purpose. Look at verse number 40, and I'll close with this. Look at what the Bible says. After you've given him all your heart and you've considered it and you're set with your heart and your mind towards him for who he is, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. Here's how you run with purpose. Embrace God's principles. Take his guidelines wholeheartedly and holistically. Brethren, serving God is not like going to your buffet. And you just pick out, oh, I don't eat that. I like that. Oh, I don't eat that. I like that. Oh, I'm just going to pick up what is my preferences in this situation. That's not how you get God's attention. Getting God's attention is more like going up on the top of that diving board and jumping off and jumping in. All in. Embrace God's principles. And here's what happens when you embrace God's principles. You enjoy the privileges. Look at verse number 40. That it may go well with thee. Brethren, make no mistake about it. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards dedication. God rewards loyalty to him. And this is where so many people fall off the boat. Because they say, you know what, let me try this thing and see. And they want to try it for 2 weeks and say, wait, I tried this thing for 2 weeks and nothing happened. God, where are you? It requires loyalty and faithfulness and dedication. And God will show himself true. Amen. Stick with the process. Amen. And if you recognize that you think that the process is not working, check to see whether your heart is all in from the beginning. run with purpose, embrace God's principles, enjoy the privileges. And here's what you do. Here's what happens. It enhances your posterity. I love this. It may go well with thee, but not with just thee alone, and with thy children after thee. Brethren, you and I have the ability and the capacity to impact our children's and future generations' lives by serving God with passion and purpose. Your future generations and families will be blessed. Brethren, it's not lost on me that there are blessings that I am receiving and reaping now because of these two individuals sitting right here. It's not all because of me and decisions I've made. It's because decisions they have made. That's Bible. And parents, you are doing your children a disservice when you choose not to serve God with all your heart. It enhances your posterity and you extend your pilgrimage. Look at verse number 40. And that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. I'm not saying everybody who dies young didn't serve God, but I'm saying that the Bible says when you serve God with all your heart, he will extend your days upon the earth. He will prolong your days upon the earth. Don't cut your life short by not serving God. Run with purpose, and you will have God's attention and his engagement and involvement in your lives. May God help us in this upcoming year of 2019 to have God's attention in everything that we do. Brethren, it is worth it. And if you're here today wondering or doubting whether I should serve God and whether I should be all in, I implore you on the authority of the Word of God, it is for your benefit. Let God have your life and have his attention in every aspect, and you will not regret it.